A very good morning to you and welcome to Little Swatara. We also want to welcome our listening audience this morning. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen and amen. We just want to highlight a few announcements this morning. On the 22nd, everyone say the 22nd. That is the Faithful Men's Dinner and Concert, and that helps benefit the Haiti mission trip. So that's this Saturday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. By donation, adults $10, and under 10 years are $6. So come out and enjoy an evening of great food, good fellowship, and incredible gospel singing. We also want to highlight on the 22nd is also our men's fellowship at Blue Star Restaurant. That's at 7 a.m., and all men, all ages, are welcome to join us at Blue Star at 7 a.m. on Saturday as well. We also just want to highlight in the opening of your bulletin, this is Harvest Sunday. So before us, we see some non-perishable food items, and that goes to our Bethel Topahawken Food Pantry. So thank you for everyone for your contributions, and we'll have a word of prayer for those in a few moments. But we also want to just highlight the Golden Age Dinner for those 60 years and over. There's going to be a noon meal served, and that's Sunday, October 30th. But what we need you to do is sign up in the narthex for that Golden Age Dinner. I also want to invite Ashley at this time. She's going to share an update on Haiti and what our mission team and openness to others to join us to be part of that team. Ashley.
Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to let you know we had a Haiti team meeting this past week, and due to the hurricane, which maybe you have been curious, we are headed to St. Mark, which has not been hit near as bad as some parts of Haiti. There's still a lot of damage and a lot of outreach that they are doing right now. However, it could have been a lot worse. So we're really praising God just for the safety that they have endured. But as a team, we have decided to change our direction a little bit. Instead of handing out the food bags, which we were previously anticipating on doing, we've decided to build a house, a cinder block house in a village that they already have some houses going up. I know you might have heard when I had gone in January, we had built three cinder block houses. That was in a village called Balale. That village is filled. Every family in that village now has a home, which is awesome, a home with not dirt floors. So when the rains come, their house won't get washed away, which is just awesome. But now we're moving on to another village who also, you know, turned their hearts to God. And so almost as a reward or as, you know, kind of just keeping that going, we just want to show God's love, and by doing that, we'll be building a house. I know there might be more people who might be, oh, now that they're building a house, this sounds a little more interesting. Maybe you have more talents to lend towards that. We are a team of mostly women. However, I've been informed that we will have a lot of help over there. So if you're interested, you may gladly let me know. We have decided November 6th is the absolute deadline cutoff. We will be ordering plane tickets on that afternoon. That's a Sunday, November 6th. That afternoon, we're buying our plane tickets. We're sending in our deposit. So no more joining the team after that day. However, if you are interested, up until then, just prayerfully consider it. We're definitely still open. Anyone who God wishes to lead to Haiti to help build houses would be appreciated. Also, we still have the wall of donations out there for Haiti. If you're interested in that, if you know God's leading you towards sponsoring our trip, sponsoring the houses, that's still going on. And of course, the men's fellowship banquet, which I'm excited for as well. That'll also help us out. So thank you.
Are there any other announcements to be made this morning? Again, we want to thank you for joining us, our listening audience, and everyone here this morning, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for showing up in our lives each and every day. Father, you know the struggles we bring to this place. You know what's upon our hearts. But Father, we just want to say thank you. And we just want to give gratitude for who you are and what you mean to us. We thank you that you are love. We thank you that you are our fortress. And we thank you that we can gather here around the radio and be able to sing your praises and hear your word. And we just thank you for each person who has contributed to our Harvest Home Ministry, and pray for each of those food items as they go to a family in need, Father, that they indeed would be blessed. And we pray, Father, that indeed this morning we would continue to rejoice knowing that your presence is here with us. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Please rise for our opening hymn.
Choir. We come to the time of our service where we share joys and concerns, and it is a wonderful joy this morning to have Mark Keeney with us and his family this afternoon at 2 p.m. The church is invited to Murky Cemetery, and we'll be having a graveside service for his wife, Joan, and thereafter we'll be going to Kaufman's for a time of fellowship. So we encourage anyone interested in coming to the graveside at Murky Cemetery at 2 p.m. to please join the family during this time of grieving the loss of Joan. And we appreciate them being with us this morning, and just look forward to you being able to fellowship with them after the service. Any joys or concerns, there'll be a microphone coming around. We simply ask you to place your hand in the air, and we'll lift those joys and concerns up this morning.
I have a real joy this morning. Yesterday, the men's group came and put two new doors on my house, and it made it a lot warmer and a lot prettier. Thank you. I want to thank God for each of you in this congregation and sharing with me.
Amen. Praise God for the gifts of men and of women in this church and the way they use those gifts. Any others this morning? We draw your attention to the bulletin each and every day that you would lift up those prayer concerns that you find there, as well as many others. In the first service, we had a request for Gerhard Reinhardt. He'll be going in Wednesday for a procedure to have some fluid drained off and also to just do some maintenance, if that's what would be the best way to describe that for him as well. So, yes.
I'd like to ask you to lift up my aunt again in prayer. Her name's Bonnie Johnson. She was taken to the hospital by ambulance last night, and they're not sure what's going on, but it's something in her brain. Her MRI results didn't show anything, so she's having more testing today, and we're praying they can get it figured out.
Thank you. Any others this morning?
My request is kind of minor compared to a lot of people's problems, but most of you know how passionate we have been, our family, about disaster relief, and especially with the disaster child care. And I've kind of been on a hiatus since Carl was diagnosed, and I've turned down three assignments this past summer, one of them because I wanted to be with our youth on their mission trip. But now I've been asked to do a presentation on Thursday in New Windsor. So I'll be driving down, and I covet your prayers for that presentation. I thank Mark for helping me with a PowerPoint, but since I've been out of it for a while, I covet your prayers. And this will be a group of probably 30 people learning how to care for children after a critical incident, such as an air crash or a storm with a lot of death. And I will be helping with that on Thursday. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean, for all you do. Blessings to you.
I just want to give an update on Mia Hussman. She's my granddaughter. I'm raising her. She has been diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which has shut down her thyroid. They did find a nodule the other week. We had an ultrasound taken. They found a nodule on the left side of her thyroid. We have an appointment in December, so they're going to take more tests then to see if it has grown. She is on medication. We don't know the outcome of it yet. Because she is so young, they said, to have this condition, she cannot take the full dose of medication. Her body would reject it. So therefore, she's on a small dose. We're hoping and praying that things will get better for her. But I do appreciate all the prayers, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come before you and to speak to our Creator, knowing that you sustain our life, knowing that you are guide through our troubled times, knowing that you rejoice with us and you are sorrowful with us, and you experience every range of emotion that we go through. We thank you for being a relatable God. We adore you this morning, realizing that you deserve our worship. And we're so thankful to be able to gather in peace and to be able to gather in protection in this place called Little Swatara, knowing that your presence is here and we don't face persecution like our sisters and brothers in Nigeria, whom we lift up to you and ask that you would guide them and continue to allow them to pour out their love upon even their enemies. So thank you, Father, for the example that they set for us. We thank you for our brother Mark and his family here with us this morning and pray your abundant blessings of comfort over him during this time of grief. We ask, Father, as we mingle and as we fellowship with one another, that we would share just how critical you are in our lives as we journey through. And we think of Jean and heading to do her presentation, Lord, that you would give her safety in her travels. And you would continue to be upon her lips as she shares an all-important message on disaster child relief. And we just thank you, God, for that ministry. And we pray, Father, for Mia this morning. And we just ask, Father, if it would be your will that your healing touch would be upon her. But again, Father, we just ask that you would surround her with your love and give her comfort in this time. And the medication that she's taking, Father, we pray that it would be able to accomplish its purpose. But Father, we look to you in this time of desperation where we see a world hurting and just ask that you would move and continue to move in our midst. We pray that you would guard our hearts as the enemy tries to enter in and cause us to sin. And we just come before you at this time and ask for your forgiveness for those times that we fell prey to sin. And we pray, Father, that you would guide us, you would lead us away from that. And Father, also hear the prayers of our hearts during these next few moments. Father, we thank you for the cross. We recognize apart from the cross, there's no hope of salvation. We realize that the tomb is empty, that death has been conquered, and those grieving this morning and loved ones that have believed upon you and lived their life for you are in heaven, and we rejoice over that fact. But we do pray, Father, you would continue to be with those in mourning today, and we extend our love to them and our sympathy. We think, Father, of our listening audience, and you know, Father, what's happening in their lives, and we pray that you would draw near to them and allow your presence to be known. And we just thank you, God, for hearing our prayers and allowing us to be able to come before your throne and proclaim your goodness. We ask, Father, your will to be done in our lives and in the life of the church. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen.
We'll just do verse 1 on the next hymn.
My prayer each week as we come to this time of offering that there is joy upon our hearts as we recognize the possibilities that our contributions enable us to further God's kingdom. We thank each and every one of you for your gifts each week and continue to pray God's will for this church. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for each giver and know their hearts, and we pray that it's out of cheerfulness that they give this morning. And we know, Father, your provisions and the way that you continue to meet our needs daily. So thank you, Father, for blessing us monetarily. Thank you, Father, for blessing us in ways that we sometimes don't even see. So, Father, be glorified during this time of offering. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children, come join me up front. Who likes surprises? I thought there'd be a few of you. Now, you should be careful when you say you like surprises. Being surprised doesn't always mean something good's gonna come out of it. You know, like a surprise birthday party? That's a good thing. But it could be also something bad come out of it. Have any of you ever heard of America's Funniest Home Videos? Yay, there's some people here. First service, there were none. See, in that show, the surprises aren't always a good outcome. Some people may scream, some people laugh, and some people, they even cry. A surprise is called a surprise because we didn't expect it to happen. It was unexpected. In today's Bible story, we'll learn Peter was confined in a prison, yet definitely unexpected happened. Nobody had a camera back then, so we don't exactly know what his expression was, but we can make inferences from the Bible. So Peter was in the prison, and an angel came, and Peter was attached to the guard with chains. So imagine I was attached to Naomi here, and I was detached. Would she feel that? Yeah? The angel freed him, and the guard had no idea about this, so he was surprised, but yet Peter expected this to happen. You see, in God's kingdom, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. Any one of us, rich, poor, adult, child, any one of us can do a great thing. The next time you meet someone new, expect to be surprised. Expect the unexpected. Maybe God has something special in mind with this, because we are all children of God. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us let others surprise us with who they are. Help us remember that everyone we meet is one of your children and is capable of great things. In your name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats.
Amen. Thank you, choir. How many of us expect the unexpected? The question's a rather much an oxymoron. Expect the unexpected? These two words contradict themselves. We expect what we expect, but we don't expect the unexpected. Often we affiliate this word unexpected with the unforeseen, the unanticipated, something sudden, abrupt, surprising, or unannounced in our lives. Why on earth would we expect the unexpected? We often associate the unexpected with the negative and things that are happening causing us to, well, stress. While this can certainly be the case, I'd invite us to expect the unexpected from the viewpoint of blessing. We've lived long enough now to realize the truth of this statement. There truly is the possibility expecting the unexpected can bring blessings to our lives. Let me explain from the perspective of our own family's life. Many of you may or may not know the story of our son, LaShane. I prefer to call him LJ. When he was born, his biological mother thought it would be the last time she would give birth and named him Life Shakur Jackson. Just as God had given us new life, we gave him a new life through his name. But I'm getting way ahead of myself. It all started with very good friends of ours who shared in Lighthouse Prison Ministry. They cared for babies that were born to incarcerated mothers. At this point, LJ's biological mother had been in and out of prison since age 13, and now she was 30. This was her seventh child, all of which were boys. And when the call came that night, we were in no way expecting it. We had actually been traveling on the weekends to attend courses to become foster parents. But we were asked to pray quickly because this child was on its way into the world. All I can remember from that night are the words of the Lord piercing our hearts, saying, "Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." And in our minds, we knew that this included orphans. We knew that this included those in prison. So we answered the call and said yes to God's voice to be a light in both of these individuals' lives. Little did we know the unexpected journey this would take us on. We'll never forget that day waiting in what they called the bubble for LJ's arrival. The expected was before us as they delivered this precious baby boy into what we thought was our temporary care. And when I say temporary, our mindset had become that we would simply babysit for 11 months. But then, based on history, we should have expected the unexpected. 11 months turned into years. And we could forget about the babysitting status and trying not to become attached. By this time, he could talk, and he began calling us mommy and daddy. Our hearts were torn. The wheels began to turn in our minds. What if we made this child a permanent part of our family? We prayed like never before, seeking God's direction for this dear, precious life entrusted to us. All along, we had been visiting with his biological mother weekly and ministering what we thought was effectively to her, and she seemed to be making progress. But suddenly, we received the call that she was transferred to a higher security facility where no longer we could visit. She would send letters for a while, but the news eventually came that once again, she had been released to a halfway house. We were expecting the call at any time that he was being placed in her care. But that call never came. The fact of the matter was, she found herself back in prison. Now remember, all this time we had been praying God's will for LJ's life. We had been settled with the idea that he would be with his biological mother. But over the course of the next several months and years, she was in and out of prison 3 times, but never once contacted us to see her baby boy. We learned quickly God had a way of doing things unexpected. Our hearts began to tell us that this child needed a sense of permanency, a sense of belonging. He knew what love was through our family, our friends, our church, and many others. So we knew that this would be no easy task beginning the adoption process. But with God's help and peace through the Holy Spirit, the unexpected happened. We'd show up for court date after court date and be sent home wondering what God was up to. But that day of rejoicing finally came. 3 years later, from temporary guardians to forever parents, we became. The adoption was finalized, and after continued prayer, we gave him that new name, LaShane Jackson Christ, signifying the new life, the new chapter in our family's story. Time has carried on now for 7 years, and contact has been lost with his biological mother. Letter after letter with pictures of her growing son have been returned with no known address. We continue to seek God's guidance in her life and ask for God to reveal himself to her. But if we never came to that point of expecting the unexpected, this family of 5 would have only been a family of 4. What you don't know about this whole story is that Denise and I had wanted a 3rd child. But with her multiple sclerosis diagnosed after our son Malachi was born, the doctors strongly advised against it. You remember those foster parenting classes that we had attended to? That was our solution, our response to that struggle. But in that process of loving God and loving others, he led us in this direction. I'll admit, sometimes I don't feel like we give faith enough credit. God has new chapters for each of our lives, and an abundance of blessings are waiting for us as we continue to expect the unexpected. It's so easy to say that we believe, but do we really believe God's going to do something we least expect? I'd like us to turn this morning, if you have your Bibles, to Acts chapter 12. We're in verses 5 through 17, and the unexpected is about to happen. King Herod is on the prowl. He's been arresting those who belong to the church in Jerusalem. In the process, he's gaining high approval among the Jews after James, the brother of John, was put to death by the sword. So in this corner, we have the world weighing in with the authority of Herod, the power of the sword, and the security of the prison. And in this corner, we have the church weighing in with prayer. Let's get ready to rumble. On paper, folks, this is a total mismatch. It's a ragtag rebellion against the Death Star of the evil empire. It's 2 little hobbits against all the dark forces of Mortar. It's Penn State beating Notre Dame. But prayer is the one power the powerless possess. When those who are powerless tap the power of prayer, we can expect the unexpected. God has and has proven he will supernaturally protect and bless his church with the unexpected. Remember now, the saints in this place are suffering from a severe famine. It was predicted from a Christian prophet we learned about last week named Agabus. And as expected, opposition from the Jewish and Roman government is intensifying. The world seems to be pulling away with the most punches. So as our scripture begins, Peter has been seized and put in prison. Verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. This is when the unexpected really starts to happen. The Greek adverb here, ektenos, translates earnestly, literally means stretched out, and it pictures the idea of hands stretched out to God in prayer. It's the same word Luke used in describing Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. It gives this impression of the wholehearted, an urgent pleading to God. So Peter is fast asleep in the prison. The church is engaged in earnest, attentive prayer. It's a question we ask ourselves this morning. When was the last time you stretched out in prayer before God? That you've been earnest, that you've been attentive, even desperate in your prayers. I know many of you have throughout your days, but what would it look like for the entire church to encompass this type of prayer? I can only sense that the unexpected would pour out upon us. It's a lot like saying, God, I'm at the end of my rope. Please have a big net ready. We can't wait to pray until all options have been exhausted. There's times we feel like prayer is a terribly uncertain second best. So long as we can fuss and work and rush about, so long as we can lend a hand, we have hope. But if we have to fall upon God and totally trust Him, for some of us, it's not exactly what we want to count on. How many leaders in the church today could do what they're doing solely in their own power without the church ever noticing? There's plenty, and I do mean plenty, to pray about in our political environment and the lives of those being devastated by social injustices, natural disasters, illness being stricken among so many people. But hear this, when God's people pray, God listens and God will act. May we become a people prepared for the unexpected, both in blessing and in trial. Not a single thing happening in the world today should surprise us whatsoever. Verse 6 continues, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Now think about this for a second. Two soldiers on either side of Peter and sentries standing guard at the door. Talk about no way for Peter to get out. It is true. Not to mention he is bound with chains, probably meaning he was attached or connected to at least one, if not both, of these soldiers. This was one of the most secure forms of confinement, making this escape impossible without knowledge. I want you to think about that dog, that cat, hopefully not a boa constrictor, that sleeps next to you at night, or that person. When they move, you know that they move. But now, take that person or that pet and attach them to you. There's no way that they are going to move without you knowing it. We can't minimize the fact that if these soldiers mess this up, King Herod will have their heads. So when we begin to expect the unexpected, here's what happens. Verse 7. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. In a popular Greek story, the deity Dionysus freed his followers from prison and could make a door open by itself. Such features appear in a traditional Jewish story about Moses. But Peter did not expect the unexpected of experiencing this in his own life. It reads he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. Peter hadn't planned this. He was asleep, and the angel has to strike him awake and tell him to get dressed. It can be like this in our lives. We don't always conceive what God is up to in the immediate moment. Like Peter, we may think it's all too surreal, it's all too strange, it's all too far gone. But as we expect the unexpected, those events leading us astray have a way of drawing us closer than ever before to a God who has all along been on the move. Isn't it amazing? When we take a step back, we realize that God is doing something. The unexpected, the unforeseen, the surprise in our lives is often a blessing in a way we never thought possible. The case was true with our son LJ, and now it's true for Peter. God shows up when his people stretch out. It's common in applying this passage to focus on God's deliverance of Peter in answer to stretched out prayer, while ignoring the non-deliverance of James, who was killed. But the fact that Luke mentions it here reminds us of God's sovereignty when thinking about God's help in times of trouble. God shows up, but here's where it gets confusing. We must leave the circumstance to him to do what's best. So the next question we ask ourselves as we pray fervently is this: will we remain stretched out and obedient to God, regardless of the outcome we face? We continue in verse 11. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door!" "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. It's not surprising that in a section of Luke's work addressing first century Judea and Galilee, we find various women named Mary. Mary was the most common Judean and Galilean female name. In these first 3 centuries AD, churches were meeting in homes. Not only was it economically feasible in some circumstances, it was much safer. So this house was large enough for many people to gather with an outer entrance and a servant, probably meaning the owner was wealthier than average and located in that upper city of Jerusalem. Now, I want us to take notice to verse 11. It read, Peter came to himself and knew without a doubt an angel rescued him. Peter had been so groggy that he didn't even realize he was actually being set free. After being left alone by his angelic guide, it's then he knows his freedom was real. It's almost laughable that Rhoda's joy at finding Peter at the gate overjoyed her so much that her common sense left her and she didn't even let Peter in. Instead, she takes off and tells others. And here's where the unexpected happens. Verse 15, at hearing the news, they told Rhoda she was out of her mind. This is a sad side note, but foolish slave women often constituted the butt of Greek comedy. But here, Luke instead makes fun of the foolish people who were praying for Peter, yet refused to believe Rhoda that Peter was actually there. It's a bit of a goofy piece to keep in the story. I read it, I reread it, and I kept asking, what in the world are we to make out of this? If I were rewriting this story, I'll admit I'd probably have left it out. So what's happening is people are praying as Rhoda interrupts and she gets this line, you're out of your mind. You'll hear some sermons that use this passage to teach that we should pray, believing our prayers will be answered. Pray with expectation. I believe that. That's true enough. I agree with it. But is that really Luke's point? Their prayers were answered, even if they didn't believe they would be. So what can we take from this? And here's a thought. God shows up when his people fall short. We have to believe this verse is an encouragement to us that God answers our prayers even when our faith isn't perfect. In fact, he answers our prayers even when our theology isn't perfect. We have to believe the point is that God honors their prayer even if they weren't giants of the faith. We have to believe the fact that our prayers are answered says far less about the quality of our prayers than it does about the quality of our God. A God who hears. A God who delivers. A God who continues to give us hope. Could it be that there have been times in our own lives where we have prayed and prayed and prayed and we kept looking for answers, and the answer was right in front of us. So in the meantime, Peter keeps knocking. He's actually trying to get inside. And finally, they let him in, still hard to believe the unexpected happened. There Peter was, who was bound by chains, confined to prison by guards, standing before them. Their prayers had been heard. It's interesting, though, as you read that passage again, to note that according to Jewish superstition, each person had his own guardian angel who could assume the person's form. This is what they thought was happening. So as Peter leaves for another place, we start to see him slowly fade from the scene as the rest of Acts revolves around Paul and his ministry. In our lives, brothers and sisters, undoubtedly, there will be times when we pray earnestly, but at times it will be so difficult to see how we can expect the unexpected. I'm glad to know that God still answers our prayers even while our faith is still growing. It doesn't downplay faith whatsoever. Faith is unquestionably critical to prayer. And our faith grows as we see God answer those prayers. But we can still pray earnestly while our faith is under construction. As we expect the unexpected, God shows up when his people stretch out. And God shows up when his people fall short. You know, God's not afraid of any prayer. Listen to how Luke wraps this chapter up. Remember, it opened with James having been killed, Peter in prison, and Herod triumphant. And friends, it closes with Herod dead, Peter free, and the word of God triumphant. So what's the biggest prayer you've never dared to pray? I often think we may be afraid to pray for the big things because our faith wavers. Yet, as we see in our passage, their faith wavered and God still showed up. We could pray for the salvation of people who don't yet know Jesus, people who seem far away from God and who have been that way for a long time. We could pray for our witness as a church to transform not just our community, but the world. We could pray for the entire nation to repent, to get on their knees before God and believe the gospel message and the power found in it. Karl Barth said this, "To clasp hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world." I can't think of any better reason to stretch out our arms in prayer, expecting the unexpected. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can expect the unexpected. But we know, Father, as we travel through this life, we have prayed certain prayers over and over again. And we question if you're truly on the move. Help our faith to increase. Help our unbelief. Guide us, Father, in the days, the months, and the years ahead as we face various trials, as we face various struggles. May we know that you are a sovereign God acting on our behalf. Thank you for this moment, knowing that we can expect the unexpected. Be glorified in each of our lives and in this church. Amen.
Please rise for our closing hymn.
Brothers and sisters, we are free. We are free indeed. May we believe in the power of the resurrection and know going forth that we can share the good news of Christ in love and with patience, knowing that He is on the move. Go in peace. Go sharing what Christ has given you this day. Amen and amen.